Last year, an oil train traveling through Quebec derailed in a fiery crash. 47 people died. It's considered to be the worst railway accident in Canada in 150 years. Yesterday, Canada's Transportation Safety Board released its report on the disaster. Joining us to explain, Les Lane, legislative reporter for the Victorian Times columnist. Les, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Ross. Thank you.
So what did the government say was the cause of this big train derailment?
It was pretty well scoped out in over the course of the year, and this confirms all the kind of worst expectations as sort of a typical disaster finding of a cascading series of errors that led to an absolute catastrophe. I guess the overarching one was just a minimal sort of culture of safety in this little, more or less a two-bit railway, now defunct and extinct, the very low regard for safety. They cut corners and pinched pennies wherever possible, and then some bad decisions by staff working late at night, probably overtired and whatnot, and they basically left the train alone and it just ran out of control.
Les, is this considered a one-off? Are there any lessons to be learned here, any policies to be changed to prevent something like this from happening again?
I think the two things that apart from the absolute catastrophe in the town itself and the monumental loss of life, the two things sort of going forward industrially and in the railroad business were the extraordinary volatility of the crude oil it was carrying. That caught a lot of people off guard, how intensely that stuff burned. It originated from the North Dakota fields, and it was headed for a refinery in New Brunswick. And it burned extraordinarily hot, which has a lot of people scratching their head and doing a lot of figuring. The other thing is the rail cars, the tank cars, where they're called, in Canada, maybe across North America, I think they're called the DOT-111s. You see tens of thousands of them all over the country, and they are held in very low regard at this point. They're more or less out of date, out of touch, and unsafe, and there's a big push in Canada to replace them over the next couple of years, which is a big job.
Les Lane, legislative reporter for the Victorian Times columnist, is ably filling in for Vaughn Palmer with news from Canada this week. And what would news from Canada be without something from Toronto Mayor Rob Ford, who's taking on a new campaign?
We have a serious raccoon problem. Some people said, well, you know, we should have the right to euthanize them. I said, well, you know what, that's not my call. But I have met with people about that. It's a severe problem we're having in the city, and it's only getting worse. And they're getting braver and braver by the day. And I'm not a big raccoon fan.
Not a big raccoon fan, says Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. But it doesn't sound like it's personal, this crusade against raccoons.
He's had some personal, among his personal problems, are going out to the recycling booth late at night and being, I think he used the word terrorized. He's very frightened of these things. I think there might be a certain degree of sympathy for him. He's mentioned in the course of that remark that his kids are frightened of them, and they have completely lost their fear. Obviously, they've been habituated. They kind of live their own lives in the suburbs and across town. And I've noticed just over the years, the one thing that really gets municipal politicians going is any kind of discussion of urban wildlife. Well, in this town, Victoria, we've been arguing about what to do with rampaging deer for years now. If you want to start a good argument while you're running for re-election, I think bringing up any kind of urban wildlife like raccoons is a good way to get it going.
Is there really a raccoon problem? The obvious conclusion one might come to is that Rob Ford is trying to think of anything other than his own personal problems to talk about.
I don't know. It looked a little bit spontaneous, this thing, but the stats, they keep stats, and raccoons have always been a problem. They always will be. There's no noticeable upsurge in them, but now that Mayor Ford has his sights trained on them, I'm sure there'll be a lot of intense discussion.
Les, this next one is my favorite story so far this week. It's about a hitchhiking robot that started in Halifax and made its way all the way to Victoria, I guess, by sticking its robot thumb out. When it arrived at in Victoria, it was treated to tea, I understand, at the Empress Hotel. Who is this Hitchbot, as it's called?
That's a great little experiment, kind of an art functioning piece, a sociological experiment, a bit of high tech thrown in. some techies put it together. It's just a it's an empty keg of beer with 3G capabilities and some rudimentary kind of speech stuff, and it does actually have those little swim floaty things that they stuck on for arms. Very appealing, charismatic little piece of junk, really. They stuck it out on the side of the highway and then stood back and tracked it with GPS just to see what would happen. And I think to a lot of people's surprise, it hitched across the entire country in about 3 weeks and arrived a little bit scraped up, but with absolutely no damage, and became a bit of a trend. It got a lot of intense media coverage, and there's a grand finale underway as I speak. It arrived actually in Victoria on a First Nations war canoe. They brought it into the harbor. Hundreds of people gave it a big hand. It was very interesting, kind of just a bit of experiment in terms of how people interact with machines.
Now, is Hitchbot really a robot, or was there someone controlling Hitchbot and being its voice?
There's a pre-recorded tape. Its conversation was along the lines of, do you love me? What is your favorite football team? I guess that's enough to get you down a few miles of road across the prairies. No, there was no kind of it wasn't functioning on its own, but they had GPS. They were tracking it where it was, and I guess they were adjusting the speech patterns and whatnot. A kind of a low-tech, high-tech adventure that turned out, I think, turned out quite well.
Did Hitchbot have any memorable words upon arrival in Victoria?
I think it just said, I'm tired, I need to recharge, and which is fitting given that it was solar-powered.
Les, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Take care, Ross.
Les Lane, legislative reporter for the Victorian Times, columnist filling in for Vaughn Palmer. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.